Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, from AI in government offices to it being used in the classroom, it's clear the technology is really here to stay. The latest statistics from ChatGPT show that students are its biggest users. But how is that being managed in schools and in classrooms? Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Chris Stokel-Walker, who's a technology journalist and author of How AI Ate the World, and Connor Murphy, who's an English teacher in Skibbereen Community School. Chris, you've an interest in AI, to put it mildly, and you decided to do some freedom of information requests in the UK around it with some surprising results. Results that I think, from what I've read, surprised even yourself. So tell us what you did.
Yeah, I basically asked whether or not the UK government's technology secretary, Peter Kyle, had interacted with ChatGPT, because he had said that he had done in a number of public statements, and if so, could I please have access to it? Because I think if we're going to think about how, you know, people in education are using AI, then we should think about how people in jobs, including very high-ranking jobs in the government, are using it. So didn't truthfully expect to get back a response under freedom of information legislation of this type that we have in the UK that is very similar to Ireland, but it did appear that actually they were willing to hand that over, and the results were relatively banal, to be honest. Peter Kyle, our UK tech secretary, was using it essentially as a bit of a fancy Google. So there is a gap here, I suppose, between how the UK government is saying they're going to use AI to change the delivery of government and how they are actually using it in practice.
Claire. Right. But it was surprising that you got the information in the first place, and questions are being asked now about what precedent that sets.
Yeah, it does set an enormous precedent, because truthfully, the formulation of government policy and the conversations between ministers and their advisers, as we see throughout the world, is generally not available through freedom of information requests. But it appears that the government department in question here has decided that actually this is more akin, I suppose, to a sort of WhatsApp chat or an email rather than a Google search or a very intensely personal conversation. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see similar attempts to try and test this legislation in other countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. But the type of information that your subject was asking, like as you said, it was pretty banal. We're told that AI is going to change the world, but what this person was asking isn't going to make that much of a difference, right? As you say, it was more like a Google search.
Yeah, he was asking what podcasts he should appear on in order to get out the word. He was asking for definitions of key terms. Yeah, we here in the UK, and Keir Starmer, the UK Prime Minister, as well as Peter Kyle, the tech secretary, are talking about how they are going to replace civil servants with AI and kind of start to give AI-generated advice on what should be the official government policy in many different areas. And that is something that may happen in the near future, but at least for now, I think this really highlights quite how limited the technology can be, particularly if you're thinking about very high stakes decisions. I think the reason Peter Kyle chose to only use these relatively simple queries of ChatGPT is perhaps because he recognises the technology isn't quite ready for prime time when it comes to government delivery.
Mm-hmm. But will it be limited for long?
Yeah, probably not, to be honest. I mean, things are increasing at pace. You know, OpenAI has released a new deep research model, which is a way that you can kind of ask it to do some of the research that perhaps a civil servant might do. And it's going pretty well. It is showing decent results, albeit not brilliant. Sometimes there is a risk with AI of either what we call hallucinations, which is just AI making stuff up. You can imagine it as kind of a very overconfident graduate from a new top university who doesn't really know the subject but is kind of blagging their way through it. Or we also have this risk of bias. You know, what is reflected through AI systems is only ever as good as the information that it is fed. And when it comes to kind of biases against ethnic, gender, sexual minorities, unfortunately, it kind of reflects society with a little bit of a sort of funhouse mirror style, amplifying the worst bits and kind of nipping in and de-amplifying the best.
Well, that gives us a warning then that we all need to be careful using AI. Chris, thank you for being with us. The latest stats from OpenAI, they run ChatGPT, they say students are the biggest users of this technology, and there are plans on the way to the English exam at Leaving Cert, which is increasing concerns around this. Connor Murphy, McCarthy, as I said, English teacher in Skibbereen Community School, is with us. Connor, thanks for joining us on this one. I mean, you heard there from Chris about the limitations of AI. It's not stopping students, though, from using it a lot.
No, it's not. And the use of AI and in the ether is making me probably one of the most paranoid teachers in the world ever. But at the moment, it isn't used as much in an English classroom because, of course, our exams are at the end of the in a closed environment in a hall. So there's very little point in students actually using AI. It hasn't stopped one or two from using it, but as soon as I explain you can't use AI in the exam, it's just you and a sheet of paper, then they come back on board and they develop the writing as we hope to.
When you say you're paranoid, are you reading stuff that's handed into you going, was this written by a human or by AI? Is that what you mean?
That's exactly it. And my students are excellent. My students are absolutely fantastic. We're very lucky down at Skibbereen. We've absolutely wonderful teenagers down here. So they'll come back to me and I'll have a chat with them and I'll say, actually, yeah, I got AI to help me with that one, sir. I did this, I did that, the other thing. And then I could just talk to them, explain, look, that's no good. Because and from their perspective, it's no good because it's not going to help them in the exam and they want to get points. From my perspective, it's no good because I obviously want them to improve their own writing skills. But a friend of mine was talking about a student that she had who was given a research task, a first-year student that she had last year, given a research task. And this student quite openly discussed the fact that they were going to use AI to put the presentation together and that they would change it around a little bit, make it a little bit more human, and then present it to the class. And that she went over and said, well, that doesn't work, and explained to the student why that wouldn't be appropriate. But that's what's coming down the track, the fact that AI is just another tool to be used and that there's no real issue with it. And as an English teacher who wants to teach critical thinking and creativity, that's the major issue.
Yeah, well, I'm having those conversations in my house with an 11-year-old who sees absolutely no reason not to use it. You know, it makes logical sense for them. If you can get the help, why not do it? So, you know, it's explaining why critical thinking is so important and how it's not going to help you in an exam. I mean, that's our job to do that as parents and teachers. But there's another issue coming down the tracks because the Leaving Cert is changing. Explain your fears around that.
Well, there are two bits. I'll go to the positive one first, if that's okay. So we have the oral coming in that's worth 20%. So if you think of that as encouraging exactly what we are saying here, critical thinking. So you bank a load of knowledge and you understand a topic, in this case novels, films, or a piece of drama, and then you go into a room and you have a conversation, a dialogue between yourself and another person where you apply your knowledge and you talk about it and you use your critical thinking skills. So that's the oral that's coming in. So there's no AI involved in any of that whatsoever. But more than that, it's actually a very good educational assessment. It's very good. It promotes exactly what we wanted to promote. But on the other side, then, they're going to do a project, a creative writing project. And that's on the cusp of being dangerous in terms of AI and cheating. Because if that's a project that they can take home, or even that they can prepare at home and bring in the preparation into class, then we're in trouble that AI might take over. And that 20% is just AI, and we're losing those skills that we want them to encourage in that, in creative writing, to think for themselves, but also creating and a sense of ownership and a sense of themselves and their own voice. And that has to be handled really, really carefully by the SEC, who will end up designing that particular guideline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is a lot more figuring out to be done on how this is managed within the education system. That bit is clear. Connor, good to talk to you as always. Connor Murphy there, English teacher in Skibbereen Community School. Coming up next, it's The Gathering.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.